Marketing is a lot. And we're back at Kentucky Tennessee Livestock Market in Guthrie, visiting here, kind of a precursor to National Agriculture Week next week, and then to the livestock market in Kentucky. There's still a lot of cattle around, and Tom and Stephanie Barnett are with us today. And Tom, you know, we're talking about the livestock market. Tell us a little bit about the market. What are you guys seeing out there? Prices right now for cattle are pretty dang good.
Wow. That's all I can say.
Right.
Wow. If you've sold anything in the past, you know, 3 or 4 months, it's been extremely good. Right. You know, I would say prices 30, 50, 60% at least ahead of where they might have been this time last year. It's a supply and demand driven market. The beef cow herd is as low as it has been in this country since 1951, mm-hmm. I think I was told. The calves, there's still a demand for good beef. And, you know, when there's not as many cows out there and calves to go around, that drives the price up. People trying to buy, you know, calves right now to get ready to turn out on grass. You know, the springtime grazing is still a big deal around here. And, you know, people like to buy them right now, take them home, give them their vaccinations, have them ready to turn out on grass, you know, when the grass gets good here in 2 or 3 weeks. So that's really driving the market on the certain size calves right now, especially people trying to get those grass calves bought and get them prepared to turn out on grass.
And there are more farmers here doing that now, aren't there?
Oh, yes. The backgrounding business, you know, when I first started being around here in the stockyard business, you had order buyers buying, probably shipping 70 to 80% of the feeder cattle here left this part of the world. You know, they went 400 or 500, 600 miles away to the north or west or even maybe south. You know, now I would say that's pretty well completely changed. I'd say 60 to 80% of the feeder cattle sold here in a week's time, they don't go out of 100 miles. And, you know, the backgrounding business has become a big, big business for people to supplement a cow herd. Or, you know, if they've got a place that they don't, there's not really enough land to have 20 or 30 cows, but they can keep 30 to 50 head of feeder cattle on it. And, you know, we can use that land and put it to better use. And that's really driven the economy and driven the feeder cattle market around here in a big way.
I think it's interesting to watch the prices. I look at the numbers every day, and I mean, some days they're out the roof. You see that too, Stephanie, I'm sure, when they come through your area.
Yes, we're getting more and more of that, I guess, sticker shock. A lot of people don't. I guess we live agriculture every day. I tell everybody I get up, and one of the first things I do after I make my morning rounds is to pull up the futures board. And I think everybody that lives it day to day watches it, you know, whether it's the grain side, like at home, or whether it's the feeder cattle or whatever. But I think we keep up to date. And I think some of these farmers that just, they may have a town job doing something else and have their cows, the supplemental income. And then they hear they're high. They hear they're high, and then they bring them to town. And we give them a check, and their eyes all, I mean, the past 2 months, their eyes are getting big. And they're like, wow, I never thought I'd guess this. And they brought $1,000 over that, or I guess this. And, you know, they're way off. I guess, you know, if you're not living it day to day, I would say it's been a steady increase up until this spring. And I mean, it is just almost to the point it's scary sometimes. Right. I'm like, what if this thing, if people are buying these high-dollar cattle and it falls, what's going to happen? So, you know, that's always in the back of my mind because we've lived through that as well. So, and another thing that's like he spoke on is driving the prices. They're not out there. The cattle are not out there, and how are we going to feed everybody? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do on that sector. That's a whole other conversation, but okay. We're getting sticker shock in their face. Okay. So when I hand them a check,
it takes a long time to turn the cattle market around too. You're several months out for a new calf. Sheep, hogs, you can turn them around pretty quickly, but cattle market, it takes a while to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, you look at, if you keep a heifer, if somebody decides to keep a heifer for replacements instead of buying one,
right,
you're almost 2.5 years from into before you see a calf and money back in your pocket from that heifer.
Right.
So, you know, if you talk about a low supply of cattle now, if people started retaining heifers today,
it's not going to change very quickly.
You're 2.5 years away from seeing more cattle on the market,
right,
because it takes that long for a heifer to go into production, the reproduction phase instead of the feeder cattle phase. Once she hits the reproduction phase, she's almost 2.5 to 3 years actually putting mm-hmm. some money back in a person's pocket. Right. So that's a while. It's not, like you said, it's not a fast turnaround.
It's interesting to watch this market. You guys do a great job. Matt Futrell is here with us. Matt, Chris K. Ag Agent. Matt, you know, you've been a partner, and you and David Furk are working with the sale tomorrow. You guys have been partnering with these folks here at Kentucky, Tennessee a long time, and it's good to have a market like this around with the livestock industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, David and I were talking this morning about some of the history of the other sales that have taken place here. And, you know, I think the CPH sale and the bred heifer sale have got 20 years history or so. And that's one of kind of our goals moving forward with this bull sale, is hopefully we'll be able to build that tradition and a history. And like Tom mentioned earlier, have a place that buyers can come and reliably know that they're going to be able to show up to a sale and get a bull bought at a good price and a great value. And on the flip side of that, you know, we want to be able to know that we've got some producers that are building bulls that are good for us, that are quality bulls that'll come to the sale traditionally every year in and out. And kind of one of our goals is that as we've got some smaller producers that may be making 4 or 5 really great bulls, that hopefully they'll get a name built well enough that they can be selling those 4 or 5 bulls off the farm, and we'll take in some new consigners. Right. And that way you get a larger impact on the number of producers that are actually consigning in the sale, and you get a good variety of bulls like that too. You know, we've done a great value to our cattle genetics through the CAPE program and ag development through the bull and the heifer program. But I think that being able to cycle through some different bulls and see some different genetics, you know, so many times guys will go to a big bull sale, but they're only kind of focused on one line of genetics. And I think this way helps us get a little genetic variability into the herd here in Kentucky.
And I think a good variety here. And I think that's what makes it really, tomorrow it's pretty much whatever you're looking for. You guys have got one.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So I think we ended up with 38 bulls in the sale and a little bit of something for everybody. If you like them red or black or bald-faced bulls, we've got something for everybody. And again, the genetics alone, all these bulls have been genomically tested. So we use that data to go back and can make some really good matings. And it helps a producer kind of have some direction for where he wants his herd to go. You know, for a long time, you mentioned the pig industry. The pig industry, I think, years ago was really great about having terminal and maternal characteristics. Mm-hmm. And finally, the cattle industry is kind of getting on board with that, because we're able to isolate those traits through genomic testing and show how we can put a mating together that will provide the traits that you're looking for.
I think it's so important. Of course, bull sale tomorrow, noon, and you can actually come view them, 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, that's right. So we'll have them in viewing pens first thing in the morning. We'll have them spaced out to where you don't have to get in the pen with the bull, keep everybody safe, keep the bulls calm. That's one of our main focuses, and why we like to bring them in a day early. We kind of get them settled, and that way they're not worked up when everybody shows up, because this would be the first time that any of these bulls have seen this many people, and probably the last time in their life. So we want to make sure that those bulls stay calm and they're relaxed as they go through the sale process.
Yeah, first time some of them seen each other too. That might not be good.
Absolutely. They might not like each other. And that's another reason we like to kind of keep those pens separated. That way we don't have a lot of nose-to-nose interaction. That's right. Keep them calm.
Yeah. We're at Kentucky, Tennessee Livestock Market. Great to have a great visit here today. Talking really about the livestock market and what they got coming up tomorrow. We're on Todd 1070 WEKT.